Welcome, everyone. It is really a great joy to see all of you at such a short notice. I will start this topic that is based on the study of Netra Tantra, wherein you find the most in-depth study and practice pertaining to the Mahamrityunjaya Mantra, the mantra for healing, healing at every level, healing at the level of our body, our breath, our mind, our consciousness, our family, society. It's multi-level, you know, healing. And I will begin this discussion that is on the dynamics of the healing force itself, exactly in the style, the way you find in the scriptures. There is very amazing style the way scriptures start. Normally, there is a dialogue between teacher and student, between two friends, between two adepts. One asks a question and another gives answer. And that is how this scripture, Netra Tantra, begins. In this particular case, Parvati, the wife of Shiva, is asking questions. And Shiva is giving the answer. Whenever a scripture begins, or the discussion on the scripture begins, there is one sentence that tells that how wonderful is this practice. Therefore, I will tell you that this is a practice that lies at the core of our tradition. This is a practice perfect for those who are interested in learning about the entire dynamics of healing force. It is a practice for those who are interested in discovering the inner dimension of life, where the life is full of mysteries. And thus this practice enables you, helps you discover boundless mysteries that are hidden, deposited in our own lives. This is a practice for those who are interested in healing themselves, infusing their life with that healing force, force of nurturance, force of nourishment. Those who are interested in becoming healthier and happier in their own personal life, in their own family life, in their own social life, in their, you know, those who are interested in healing themselves, healing their religion, healing their faith, healing their society, healing their environment, healing their soil, healing their mountains, healing their rivers. It is perfect practice for all those people. But remember, when you are building a small little structure, probably you will need just few hundred or few thousand bricks. But when you are building, you know, a great fort, then you need several million bricks. So it is in proportion to the size of your goals and objectives, the course of your practice also changes. And therefore, the level of, you know, your practice is totally dependent on the size of your goals and objectives. So this is what here the scripture will say, that what is the benefit of this practice? But who will benefit the most from this practice? Not simply that anybody and everybody who's interested. It is not just a mere interest. I'll give you amazing examples of these kinds of things. Some person called me when I was visiting one of my most, not favorite, I should not say favorite, but rather my dearest place on the earth, Ujjain Mahakaleshwar. I have written about that place at the 11th hour. First Swamiji told me, and it is on that basis, without being there, I have written something about it. No, in fact, I went and then I wrote at the 11th hour. First time when I went, Petra and Madalsa were with me. Amazing experience. That place for me is not just my home of my mother, father, but rather it is my mother, father. It is that level of, you know, experience, profound experience I have. Then I was somehow at a very unique spot just 2-3 months ago. In fact, 3 months. It was January 4th, 5th, or something like that. I was there this year. And at a very special spot, a spot where one of the primordial sages of our tradition, out of seven sages, one of the sages, Bhagwan Angira himself did his tapas, and therefore that particular spot is known after him, named after him. For a long time, that place had been hidden, forgotten, and then one day the river changed its course and that temple was found. Tiny little, not even temple, small spot was found, and people, all the descriptions matched, and it was there. So during this visit, I went there. While I'm just hardly 100 to 100 feet away, on my cell phone, I got a telephone call. Somebody calls me. Panic. That a huge gang group, criminal group in Bombay, is after him, his family, business, and asking for huge ransom. Well, what can I do? I visit India just once a while for a few days. I don't know anything. However, the time, the place, the environment was such, I just looked at my mother and father, who is just there and to me, you know. I ask anything, even without asking, I get everything. Somehow, I don't know how the words came out from my mouth, which was even somewhat not like me. I've been taught and told not to make promises. Even if I make promise, I must not make promise while mentioning the name of someone who is extremely, it's like he has given rain check, but I have to be very careful what I feel in that check. But somehow I feel it. After that, many telephone calls coming from that family. I'm so grateful. Finally, that family comes to see me in the United States from India. I surrender myself. I have already done anything. I will follow. This is my life. Done. Well, wonderful. And our host picks up the family, Panditji. And I started dancing, and I saw my wife, I grabbed her hand, and we did vigorous dance. according to Indian, you know, customs and things, a pandit, a swami, a guru, a spiritual person is not supposed to dance. And here at the beat of bhangra, you know, holding the hands of my wife, you know. And once you have practiced a good kind yoga, then your body is quite flexible. I can, you know, do very good dance. You know, I moved and all that respect that gentleman had got wiped out. Well, whatever. God may have given me freedom from, you know, as it is said. Pratishtha Sukari Vistha Gauravam Vyartha Rauravam Abhimanam Surapanam Trayam Tyaktva Harim Bhajet. Beautiful. It's Bhagavan Narad, one of the great sages. Narad is telling in one of the Upanishads. Pratishtha Sukari Vistha. Name, fame, honor, dignity is as good as waist of a pig. Gauravam Vyartha Rauravam. To be hailed as a great guru and teacher and a spiritual person is just a mere empty noise. Abhimanam Surapanam. Identifying oneself to a particular image and being filled with vanity about that is just another form of drunkenness. Trayam Tyaktva Harim Bhajet. Only after renouncing, abandoning these three will you be able to really repeat and remember the name of Lord. Well, I got great freedom. If that is the interpretation, if that is, I don't even care. But the point is here, see how short-lived is even such experiences. It just goes away. So it's not a momentary desire, but rather your own intense desire, tivra samvega. It's called tivra samvega in Yoga Sutra. It's the intensity of your desire, the strength of, you know, of you in your commitment, you know. And constant awareness, this desire means constant awareness of your higher goal and purpose of life. That's what really breathes life into your practice and sadhana. So those who truly are of contemplative nature, those who have put aside few minutes every day to reflect on the higher purpose and meaning of life, and those who have really understood that human birth is a great gift. To be born as a human is the greatest gift. And this gift must not go, you know, in vain. It must not be wasted. Those who understand that and those who remind, even despite of the fact that you know it very well, you have to methodically remind yourself of this fact every day. To such people, this seminar, this discussion, this study of Netra Tantra scripture, it will be very, very, very fruitful. And it is on behalf of those who have made promises, I also make promise that there will be no fear left on the earth for such people. Fear is the greatest bondage. No? Fear is death. No. Moving toward death means denying your own experience, which is somewhere deep hidden within you, denying your own experience that you are fully connected to the source of immortality, the source of elixir of life. You are never ever separate from that, the divine being which is in you, which is with you, which is you. We constantly denying this fact without even really realizing that how badly, how you know, mindlessly we are denying that fact, and it is in proportion to that denial we try to hold on to that image which we value so much. Which one starts first? Do you really cling and hold on tightly that image which is so known to you, and somehow because of your continuous contemplation and continuous self, you know, projected value that has become so precious, do you hold on to that image and that's why you are denying the inner reality? Or do you deny the inner reality first and therefore you have no other choice but to go on holding on to that image? It's a very, very subtle process. No? Although, as the scriptures say, that avidya is the first among all the afflictions. Lack of knowledge, based on that, denying yourself, denying, and yourself means here not little self, denying that higher reality, the sacred in you, that's what creates the ground for holding on to asmita, that is next among the afflictions. And once that process has been completed, then automatically there comes raga, dvesha, and avinivesha. There comes raga, attachment. There comes dvesha, the aversion or dislike. That's when you get caught into this like and dislike. And that's when the duality becomes so solid, so tangible, so unavoidable, you know, so undeniable, that to you that becomes really living reality, and at some point the only reality. And then you notice that things are short-lived. Life itself is short-lived. Any day you can sit and think, you can clearly see that how little awareness is there in your mind regarding your own childhood, adulthood, and your college years. You know? And can you really pinpoint exactly how those 30, 40, 50, 60 years just, you know, vanished? No, you don't have any recollection. Logically, it makes very much sense that it, just as at the blink of an eye, 60 years vanished, similarly, next 20 years will vanish too. And in fact, as all of you may remember, that as soon as you hit 40, time speeds up. No? Time speeds up. And worse than that is that body starts requiring more attention and more care after that point. So you cannot really commit yourself to sadhana and practices as vigorously as you could have, you know, committed when you in your 20s and 30s. This is reality. Then again, to avoid seeing this reality, we occupy ourselves in so many other ways. Those who are thoughtful about this phenomena, to them, the seminar, this retreat that we are going to attend this weekend will be fruitful beyond our expectations and imaginations. For others, it will be all right too, you know, but not really, you know. This is the truth I'm telling you. But there are some people, it will be just a matter of learning textbooks. To who? Those who have not, this is here the criteria. Because the practice that is described in this text and the variation of version of Mahamrityunjaya Mantra that we are going to discuss in this seminar is not available to those who have not practiced either Mahamrityunjaya Mantra, the Om Trayambakam Yajamahe Sugandhim Pushti Vardhanam, Urvarukumiyu Bandhanan Mrityur Mukshiya Mahamrita. This is Mahamrityunjaya Mantra. Those who have not practiced this mantra, for them, the content of this seminar is just like a big sack of salt which is on the back of a camel, camel carrying it, but poor camel has no chance to even take one small little taste of the salt, that how it even looks like. But still, it's okay. Carry on your back. One day you might reach that stage when you can practice it. It's okay. It's not too bad. Or Gayatri Mantra, Om Bhur Bhuva Swastat Savitur Varenyam Bhargo Devas Dhimai Dhiyo Yona Prachodayat. Those who have not practiced either Mahamrityunjay Mantra, which I just recited, and or Gayatri Mantra, or some other few other practices which are also of equally, equally important. Those who have not practiced those other disciplines, to them this seminar is like taking course in academic environment. But at least the seminar and practice is not going to be harmful.